Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It is college football final. We've got some game reports coming up momentarily. And this is European football. The St. Ovoles are men's soccer playoff champions of the MIAC after claiming the title for the third consecutive season. The defending national champs outdueled Gustavus 3-2 to punch their ticket back to the national tournament. Once again, the Oles win their third straight MIAC soccer playoff crown. That is certainly good news. Meanwhile, St. Catherine won their fourth straight MIAC women's soccer playoff title, and they beat St. Mary's 3-1 at the Wildcat Soccer Field in St. Paul today. So congrats to St. Kate's on that. All right, let's jump into the game report. Speaking of the MIAC, good friend of the program over the years, Ryan Klinkner from St. John's. Johnny's hosting St. Olaf today, and they rolled to a big win.
Thanks, St. John's. Outgained St. Olaf 670 yards to 180 in a 55-6 win today in Collegeville. Quarterback Aaron Severson, a senior from Minnetonka, became the all-time leading passer in MIAC and SJU history with 438 yards in 2.5 quarters of play. He finished 25 of 28 passing with 6 touchdowns. A pair of Johnnies caught 3 touchdowns on the afternoon. Marcelio Mendez, a senior from Crete and Durham Hall, caught 9 passes for a career-high 180 yards and the 3 scores. Dylan Wheeler, a junior from Moundsview, snaked 7 balls for 158 yards and 3 scores. Cooper Yagi, a senior linebacker from Breckenridge, led SJU with 8 tackles and returned an interception 50 yards for a touchdown on the opening drive of the second half. The Johnnies host 25th-ranked Bethel for the MIAC Championship at noon next Saturday, while the Oles visit Augsburg.
All right, very good. Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Klinkner from St. John's, been contributing to the program for a long, long time. Now we want to jump over to the Northern Sun. Kevin Reed filed this report. He's the voice of the Bemidji State Beavers, Kev.
The Battle Axe will remain in Bemidji for another year as Bemidji State defeats Minnesota Moorhead 25-14 at Nemzek Stadium today. Another interception return for a touchdown against the Beavers in the first quarter. This one made by Jack Bungarden for the Dragons, 63 yards, and it was 7-0 after one. Moorhead went on a 13-play, 78-yard drive in the second quarter. Finn Ridgeway with an 8-yard run for a touchdown, and it was 14-0 in favor of the Dragons. However, those are the final points of the day scored by Moorhead. Beaver defense recorded a safety with about 10 minutes to go in the second quarter to make it 14-2. And then at the end of the first half, Bubba Peters hauled in a 38-yard Hail Mary from Sam McGath. It was reviewed, it was ruled good, and it was 14-9 at the half in favor of the Dragons. Beavers took their first lead of the day on a 2-yard run by Sam McGath in the third quarter. 2-point try was no good, 15-14 after three. Then in the fourth quarter, Bubba Peters with his second reception of the day, this time from 25 yards out from Sam McGath. The extra point made it 22-14. Connor Mantelli, the Northern Sun Special Teams Player of the Week, drilled a 38-yard field goal with about 4 minutes to go in the game to make the final margin 25-14. On the day, Bubba Peters, 9 catches, 133 yards, and 2 touchdowns for the senior from White Bear Lake. Another good day for Sam McGath. He finished 16 of 31 with that one interception for 186 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jack Strand, the defending Northern Sun Offensive Player of the Year, finished 32 of 56. He had two interceptions, no touchdowns, and 221 yards. The Beaver defense really stepped up in the second half, finishing with five sacks on the day and holding a very potent Dragon offense to just 66 yards in the final 30 minutes of the game. Again, the final score today, Bemidji State 25, Minnesota Moorhead 14. Beavers have now won 20 of the last 26 in the Battle Axe battle. Kevin Reed for the Beaver Radio Network.
All right, very good, Kev. Thank you. And, of course, Kevin Reed, former producer here at CCR Radio, former Twins radio engineer. I've known Kev a long time, and we certainly do appreciate him filing that report a little bit earlier today. Regular season winding down rapidly. As a matter of fact, next week, final week of the regular season, ton of noon starts. MSU Moorhead makes trip to Mary and Bismarck. Minnesota State will be at Minnesota Duluth at noon. Concordia St. Paul, the trip to Wayne State. Augustana will be at Bemidji State. A win there for the Vikings, and they wrap up the outright Northern Sun title. Winona State, the long trip to Minot State, and Southwest Minnesota State, short trip over to Sioux Falls to play the University of Sioux Falls next Saturday. Here a rundown of the finals again from today in the Northern Sun. Winona State beat Southwest Minnesota State 37-15. Northern won at Wayne 28-21. UMD, a big winner at Concordia St. Paul 35-7. Following the news and weather at 5, we'll have a report from Josh Deere from Seafoam Stadium. Minnesota State beat Mary 49-21. Bemidji State, as you heard a moment ago, beat MSU Moorhead 25-14. And the key to the city was on the line in Sioux Falls. And Augustana beat the University of Sioux Falls 27-21. And hopefully we'll get a game report from Tom Frederick on that one. If you're out and about, the Gophers lose at Rutgers today. Once again, Rutgers beat Minnesota 26-19. Gophers were down 14-9 at the half, grabbed a 16-14 lead, but were outscored 12-3 in the fourth by Rutgers in Piscataway, New Jersey, 26-19. And I like to say that because it took me a long time to figure out how to say Piscataway properly. Rutgers wins at 26-19. Rutgers now 5-4 overall, 2-4 in the Big Ten. Minnesota 6-4, 4-3 in the Big Ten. And the end of the regular season is coming up quick. They host Penn State, and then they're on the road at Wisconsin to close out the Big Ten season. We have all the news, all the weather at 5, and then more college football final here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We'll have another rundown of the Big Ten and the top 25 scores. We'll check the Missouri Valley. How did the Tommies do today? Plus, we'll have a rundown of what happened in the Northern Sun, the MIAC, the UMAC, the WIAC. A little bit later on, 30 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Pat Coleman from D3Football.com and take a look at that playoff picture as far as the Upper Midwest teams go. So that is all on the way. But right now, game report out of the MIAC today. Big showdown up in Moorhead. It was Bethel at Concordia. Jim Sella joins us on the line. And once again, Jim, thanks for the time.
Hey, no problem, Steve. It was a great day as far as college football in the MIC goes. Two teams squaring off, Bethel and Concordia. They were playing for the Skyline Division title. The winner going on, and obviously is going to play at St. John's next weekend for the total overall championship of the MIC and that automatic berth in the NCAA playoffs. And today, unfortunately for the Cobber faithful, it was all Bethel. Bethel never trailed, got out to a 12-0 lead in the first quarter, extended it to 21-3 at the half, and then made it 42-3 early in the fourth quarter, and they kind of rolled to the 49-16 win over the Cobbers here. Two big plays. The biggest thing in the whole game was turnovers. The Cobbers forced three turnovers and didn't do anything with them. Bethel had two turnovers where they turned it over, Cobbers threw an interception, and Matt Young for the Bethel Royals turned that into pick six. In the first quarter, he got a 31-yard pick six. ran it back, which made it 12-0. And then right at the opening drive of that second half, Carvers get the ball, and you know, they're still in the game, and they think that they can go down and score. It's going to be a game. But then Matt Young comes up with a 32-yard interception return for a touchdown, and that kind of sealed the deal from there. And they were able to roll. For the Royals, Aaron Ellingson had a couple of touchdowns, but their quarterback, the game featured, the storyline of the game was the two quarterbacks for the two teams. For Bethel, Cooper Drews, who's a sophomore, played his freshman year at St. John's. For Concordia, Cooper Mattern, he's a senior, he played his freshman year at St. John's. So that was kind of an interesting storyline. And Cooper Drews, for the day, threw for 372 yards and three touchdowns. For the Cobbers, Cooper Mattern ran a touchdown pass. And for the Cobbers, the bright spot's going to be the rushing yardage. Bethel entered the game leading all Division III, and they'd only given up 9 yards a game rushing. That's the average. Cobbers put up 129 yards of rushing on them for the game. That's the most that Bethel's given up the whole season. Final total offensive yards were 445 for the Royals, 248. And then for the Royals as well, Joey Kidder is a real deal, a wide receiver. He's 10 catches for 153 yards. So that's the way the game ends, 49-16 in favor of the Royals. Bethel will go on and will play at St. John's next weekend in the MIAC Championship. Cobbers will play at Gustavus in the battle of teams that both finished second in their division.
Well, Jim, always great. Thanks so much.
Before I go, one thing, this might be my last report ever. Who knows how it's going to go? I just want to thank you, Steve, for everything you've done for MIAC football over the years and for our connections here over the reports. It's been great. And finally, I'm going to give a shout-out to my mother-in-law, who always listens to me call in, Helen Houle, to say hi to her. So she's been a faithful fan of your show for years. So that's how it's going to wrap up at Moorhead for 2024.
Now, Jim, tell me more. Are you retiring?
I might be retiring after the end of this year. Yep. Could be.
It's been quite a run. Yeah, it's been quite a run.
Yeah,
and Jim, you've been a loyal contributor to this show for a long, long time. Best of luck.
I appreciate it. Thanks. And thanks, like I said, for everything you do for small conference football.
Well, there he is, Jim Sella from Concordia. Tough day for the Cobbers, and wow, what news there. Bethel beats Concordia 49-16, and then on top of it, Jim Sella calling it a career. I got to let that sink in for a little bit. Augsburg beat McAllister 33-3. It was St. Scholastica beating Hamlin 42-28. Carlton rolled over Gustavus 51-17. And it was St. John's beating St. Olaf 55-6. We got a game report on that one a little bit earlier from Ryan Klinkner. Speaking of the MIAC, David Pape from Carlton. How about the Knights today in a big win over Gustavus, David?
Yeah, Steve, it was a historic afternoon at Laird Stadium as Carlton picked up its first victory over Gustavus Adolphus since 1996. So that was snapping a 26-game losing streak to the Gusties. Besides that, the 51 points were the most the Knights have scored against Gustavus Adolphus since, believe it or not, October 11th, 1919. So that was 105 years ago. So this is not something people are used to seeing. Jack Curtis tied the MIAC record and set a new Carlton standard with 7 touchdown passes on the afternoon. He finished with a career-best 469 passing yards, the fourth-highest single-game total in the 142-yard history of Carlton football. For good measure, Curtis added a team-high 54 rushing yards to his stat sheet. His top target on the day was Tyler Diamond, who had 12 catches for a whopping 282 yards. That was 3 shy of the Carlton record set in 1990, ironically against Gustavus. Diamond had 4 touchdown catches on the day, coming on plays of 15, 21, 49, and 39 yards. Entering the day, no NCAA Division III player had more receiving yards in a game this season than Diamond did with his 282. Believe it or not, it was actually a low-scoring affair early on as Carlton tied the game at 3-3 with a field goal on the first play of the second quarter. Gustavus responded immediately with a 2-play, 75-yard touchdown drive, punctuated by a 31-yard scoring pass from George Sandvin to Caden Kleinschmidt. But Carlton answered back with a Jack Curtis touchdown strike to Intenso Bono, sparking the Knights' run of 42 unanswered points over the next 30 minutes of game time. And Carlton responded to a fourth-quarter Gustavus score with Jack Curtis's seventh touchdown pass of the day midway through the final stanza. Curtis finished the day 28 for 39 for those 469 yards. Sanvin was 23 for 42 for 268 and a pair of scoring strikes for the Gusties. So Carlton will try to keep the momentum going next week when they host Hamline University, and Gustavus will take on Concordia during what is called MIAC Championship Week.
All right, very good, David. Thank you for your reports.
You bet, Steve.
All right, there he is, David Pape. Once again, Carlton and the Knights, a big win, 51-17, and who knows? They're at home next week against Hamline. We might hear from David one more time. Why don't we squeeze in a break right now? We'll come back. Big Ten, top 25, all the scores, and then, of course, more game reports here on College Football Final. A News Talk, 830-519 here on a Saturday, College Football Final. Without further ado, let's jump into the Big Ten, the top 25, some Missouri Valley. How did the Tommies do today? And then I'll come back with that regional school board. Let's bring in Jonathan Lowe.
Senior Day at Seafoam Stadium, where Concordia St. Paul honored a big senior class of 28 prior to its game against Minnesota Duluth. The Golden Bear defense came up with big stops early in the game, leaving UMD empty on downs in CSP territory and forcing a punt at midfield on the first two possessions. Following the early stops, Concordia's defense became opportunistic as Apopka, Florida sophomore safety Makai Campbell intercepted the reigning D2 Offensive Player of the Week, UMD quarterback Kyle Jasper, inside the CSP 10-yard line. CSP then forced a Wall Jasper fumble on the first play of the next drive, leaving the Bulldogs empty in four straight offensive possessions to start today's game. But UMD would strike with the big play late in the second quarter as Wall Jasper connected with Deshaun Ames for 55 yards and a touchdown. The duo would hook up again late in the second quarter with 23 seconds until half, and then again early in the third quarter as Wall Jasper and Ames combined for three touchdowns to break a scoreless tie late in the first half and turned it into a 21-0 UMD advantage in a span of less than 10 minutes of game time. Wall Jasper finished the game 20 of 26 for 219 yards and three touchdowns, while adding 15 carries for 99 yards. Ames had six catches for 98 yards with the three touchdown grabs. Concordia would pick Wall Jasper off again in the third quarter as St. Paul Johnson defensive end Drake Teal, now a junior, batted a Wall Jasper pass at the line of scrimmage and secured the interception. A three-turnover day for the CSP defense would be erased by UMD's 492 yards of total offense, including 237 rushing yards. Concordia senior running back Jalen Richardson from Kansas City, Kansas, the seventh leading rusher in the nation with the fifth most rushing touchdowns, continued his strong campaign by carrying 14 times for 67 yards and a touchdown and leading CSP with 78 yards from scrimmage, giving him at least 74 yards in all 10 games this year. Concordia will end the season on the road next Saturday in Nebraska at Wayne State, while UMD will host 18th-ranked Minnesota State at Mulaski Stadium. Final score from Seafoam Stadium today, UMD Bulldogs 35, Concordia Golden Bears 7. Thanks for the coverage throughout the season, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, and thank you, Josh Deere at Concordia St. Paul. Here's a rundown of the scores in the Northern Sun. Winona State beats Southwest Minnesota State 37-15. We'll get a game report momentarily. Northern State beat Wayne State 28-21. You heard a moment ago, UMD wins at Concordia St. Paul. Minnesota State, a big win in Mankato over Mary 49-21. We never get a game report from the Mavericks anymore. Bemidji State beat MSU Moorhead 25-14. And Augustana wins the key to the city, beating rival University of Sioux Falls 27-21. Let's jump back to Marshall, Winona State at Southwest Minnesota State. Here's Kelly Loft.
Thanks, Steve. Winona State improved to 5-5 overall and 5-4 in the conference with a 37-15 victory over Southwest Minnesota State on Saturday afternoon at the Schwann Regional Event Center in Marshall. The victory for the Warriors, they retain the Battle for the Sledge Trophy. The trophy game was started back in 2015. The Mustangs won the first year, but the Warriors have dominated since, winning the last seven meetings to retain the trophy. Senior quarterback for the Warriors, Cole Sendstrom from Arden Hills, Minnesota, had a big afternoon. He completed 18 of 28 passes for 344 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Warriors led 14-0 late in the first quarter until the Mustangs' Josh Ohm, making his collegiate debut at quarterback, completed a 42-yard touchdown pass to Mustang true freshman Sean Walrath. Walrath, a freshman from Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, made the score 14-7 at the end of one. The Warriors, though, added three field goals in the second quarter. Jacob Scott booted field goals of 30, 33, and 20 to give the Warriors a 23-7 halftime lead. Mustangs, though, on their opening drive of the third quarter, Ohm connected with Trig Otten, a 31-yard touchdown pass. Otten from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, caught the pass and broke three for the touchdown. And the Mustangs then two-point conversion. Jake Anderson, junior wideout from Prior Lake, caught the two-point conversion. And the Mustangs trail just 23-15 in the third quarter. However, the Warriors put the game away with a couple of touchdowns later on in the third quarter to win 37-15. The Warriors dominated time of possession. They finished nearly 39-21-minute advantage, and they finished the game running 70 plays to the Mustangs' 46. Southwest drops to 0-10 overall, 0-9 in the conference. They'll try to get their first win of the season next Saturday at the University of Sioux Falls. Winona State improves to 5-5 overall and 5-4 in conference play. Again, the final from Marshall, Winona State 37, Southwest Minnesota State 15.
All right, very good, Kelly, and always great to hear from Kelly Loft. Once again, a quick rundown next week. Final week of the regular season in the Northern Sun. MSU Moorhead visits Mary. Minnesota State at UMD. Concordia travels to Wayne State. Augustana at Bemidji State. Big game there for the Vikings. Winona State travels to Minot State. Southwest Minnesota State, as he mentioned a moment ago, will be in Sioux Falls to take on the University of Sioux Falls. Speaking of that, the Key to the City game was played today in Sioux Falls, Augustana and Sioux Falls. And we'll get a game report coming up following the weather. We'll have another rundown of the scores. Pat Coleman joins us from D3Football.com with a look at the playoff picture here in the Upper Midwest. Let's get over to the WIAC today and a rundown of the scores there. Let's see if they're all finals now. And Platteville in control, and they win big today over Eau Claire, 56-14. Stout won at Oshkosh, 45-42. LaCrosse Town Whitewater, 24-21. Long year for Whitewater, and it was River Falls all over Stevens Point, 45-17. Next week, Stevens Point plays at LaCrosse. Oshkosh battles River Falls at 1. Platteville will be at Stout, and Whitewater will travel to Eau Claire for a 2 o'clock start. One final out of the UMAC today. Northwestern beat Greenville 42-34 is the final there. It is 5:30. Once again, the weather. Pat Coleman from D3Football.com will have a report on that Augustana Sioux Falls football game. And we'll check the Big Ten and top 25 scores again here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Big day of college football. We'll have another check of the Big Ten scores, the top 25. We've got one more game report to squeeze in, and that's out of the Northern Sun, the Key to the City, Augustana, the league leader, taking on our rival Sioux Falls today. Tom Frederick filed that report. We'll play it for you coming up before we say goodbye. But right now I want to focus on D3 and the D3 playoff picture. Pat Coleman joins us from D3Football.com. Pat, good to visit with you again. How you been?
I've been great. Good to chat with you, Steve.
Yeah, Pat, we know what's going on in the MIAC. Bethel won big at Concordia today. St. John's is rolling Bethel at St. John's. The winner gets the automatic bid.
Yeah, absolutely. 28 automatic bids still in the Division III football playoff, but thankfully there's a 40-team bracket. It feels like both St. John's and Bethel should feel good about making the playoffs regardless of their game next week. But, Steve, I don't know, I assume your listeners may know this. If they're really into D3, this thing is all done by computers now. The committee just puts everything into a formula, and that's how they come up with the at-large teams. It's kind of a new age in Division III.
Yeah, and talk about the field expansion, because there was a lot of controversy that, you know, some of these smaller conferences, maybe like the UMAC, it was getting an automatic bid, and it was kind of like, yeah, you have back in the day, St. Thomas, St. John's, Bethel, all very good teams, and one or two of those teams would be left out in the cold, and the people would look around and say, you know, is that really fair?
Yeah, Division III has just gotten so much larger in terms of football. We now have 240 teams participating, 28 conferences that all qualify for automatic bids this year. But yeah, we have an expansion from the old 32-team field now to 40. So there are 12 at-large bids. You know, basically anybody who's in a decent conference and ends the season with one loss is probably pretty good to make the playoffs, and we'll probably see some 8-2 teams get in with at-large bids too when the process happens a week from tomorrow.
All right, North Central of Illinois is still the clear number one and the team to beat. But let's talk about the other conferences here in the upper Midwest, mainly the WIAC, which I keep a close eye on each and every Saturday. Platteville now the team to beat. Whitewater struggled. La Crosse was the team. Oshkosh got beat today. So, you know, it's really all about Platteville. Who else makes the field out of the WIAC?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. With the teams beating each other up so much, it's a good question as to how many bids will actually get in. But I should say, I mean, Platteville is not yet in the clear. Platteville plays at Stout next week. Stout is one of three teams that are a game behind Platteville in the conference standings. Stout was the one who got the big win at Oshkosh today.
Yeah.
So Platteville's 5-1 in conference. Then La Crosse, Oshkosh, and Stout are all 4-2. It's very possible for that to end up as a four-way tie, and then I have not yet delved into the tiebreakers, if I'll be perfectly honest with you, Steve.
But, all right. I just, before we run out of time, Pat, and we'll do it again next week when things come into clearer focus, what about down in Iowa? We know that eventually teams from the WIAC and the teams from Minnesota will quickly meet up with the team out of Iowa. Who stands out? Wartburg, maybe?
Yeah, so Wartburg is the conference leader. Wartburg's not as good offensively as they have been the last couple of years, but they won the conference today. Assuming that they win in their season finale next weekend at Simpson. Coe is in the clubhouse. Coe is 9-1. Coe should definitely make the playoffs. So I think we'll see two teams out of Iowa as well, and probably two teams out of Chicagoland as well. Wheaton is looking in good shape to make the field along with North Central.
All right, all the scores, a ton of info, d3football.com. Pat, always good to visit with you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, there he is, Pat Coleman. And right now we're going to bring in Jonathan Lowe. He is standing by. He's been keeping a close eye on the Big Ten and the top 25. Right now, Indiana trying to stay unbeaten at home in Bloomington against Michigan. This one going right down to the wire. We know the Gophers laid an egg in New Jersey today. Jonathan Lowe, what have you got?
So, Steve, it is getting a little tighter in Bloomington as we stretch you through all of the action on this wonderful, beautiful Saturday in the fall, y'all. College football here, there, and everywhere. We get it kicked off and rolling in the Big Ten and at Memorial Stadium, where Michigan has the ball and has a chance to take the lead. There's 7 minutes left to play. Michigan 2nd and 10 on their own 27-yard line, down 17-15 to the 8th-ranked Indiana Hoosiers. If Indiana wins, they'll set school history. They've never started a season. They've never had a 10-0 record in their college football history. That is a huge deal, and that is what is on the line right now for the Hoosiers. As we go through earlier today, Rutgers gets a win over Minnesota. The Gophers could not pull out the second half. They slowed down as far as their scoring in the second half. Rutgers had a 12-point fourth quarter and wins 26-19. Gophers fall to 6-4 on the season. Another final, number 2, Ohio State absolutely rolled Purdue. Purdue is in a bad way right now. They won the season opener. They've lost 8 straight, and the Buckeyes are the reverse. They're 8-1 on the season with a 45-0 win as they will continue. I don't believe it's next week. 2 weeks from now, it will be Indiana and Ohio State. So that is a showdown that is set to happen. We'll see if Indiana can get to that undefeated. I believe they have a bye next week. Coming up in just about 20 minutes, it'll be number 1 Oregon trying to get to 10-0 themselves. They are hosting Maryland on the West Coast. At 7 o'clock, number 6 Penn State will welcome in Washington as the Nittany Lions try to get back on the right track after they lost last week to Ohio State. Last night at the Rose Bowl, UCLA gets a win over Iowa 20-17. Hawkeyes dropped to 6-4. Bruins are now 4-5. To the top 25 scoreboard, it is late in Blacksburg and Virginia Tech. They are up 21-7, about 5.5 to play in the fourth quarter, and Clemson trying to get to 7-2 on the season. It is late at Arrowhead, about 3.5 to go, and Iowa State just got picked off a little bit ago for a pick six. Kansas is going to upset the 17th-ranked Cyclones, 45-28 currently, with Kansas having the ball on their side of the field, so Iowa State's going to drop two in a row and drop to 7-2 on the season. It is getting late in Oxford, 3.5 to go there. Number 16, Ole Miss, in the red zone, looking to put this one away against number 3, Georgia. The Rebels lead 22-10 and look to get to 8-2 and drop Georgia to 7-2 on the season. Number 20, Colorado. They have turned things around in Lubbock. Late third quarter, they just scored to go up 31-20 on Texas Tech, as the Buffaloes look to get to 7-2 and really vault themselves in the race for the Big 12 title. Finals from earlier today, number 5, Texas, easily over Florida, 49-17. Number 4, Miami gets their first loss of the season. They lose at Georgia Tech, 28-23. Coming up in just a few minutes, it'll be number 7, Tennessee, against, one other final that just went final, number 25 Army. They get to 8-0 on the year. They win at North Texas 14-3. Now to the games coming up in just a little bit. Number 7 Tennessee will be at home against Mississippi State. Number 11 Alabama will be at number 15 LSU in the game of the night. Number 10 Notre Dame will host Florida State. Number 24 Missouri will be at home against Oklahoma. Nevada travels to number 12 Boise State. Virginia is on the road at number 18 Pittsburgh. Number 9, BYU goes downstate, down the highway to Salt Lake City for the Holy War against Utah. Number 21, Washington State will be at home against Utah State. The Missouri Valley today, it was Illinois State crushing Northern Iowa at the Unidome 31-9. At the Dakota Dome in Vermilion, the Coyotes get to 7-2. South Dakota shuts out Indiana State 49-0. South Dakota State wins at North Dakota 38-7. The Jackrabbits are now 8-2 on the season, and St. Thomas falls back to even. They're 500 at 5-5 after losing to Drake at home on homecoming 22-19. The Bulldogs are now 7-1 on the season, and I believe they are atop the Pioneer League, the Tommies, after starting their first winning their first four games in league action, have dropped to 4-2 in league play.
All right, very good, Jonathan. Thanks for that update. Let's quickly run down where we're at. Let's start in the Northern Sun. We got a game report momentarily. Winona State beat Southwest Minnesota State 37-15. Northern over Wayne 28-21. UMD a big win at Concordia St. Paul 35-7. The Bulldogs had a rough patch earlier in the season. Minnesota State down Mary 49-21. Bemidji State a winner at MSU Moorhead 25-14. And the key to the city, it was Sioux Falls against Augustana, and we'll have a game report momentarily on that. Vikings win at 27-21. MIAC all finals, Augsburg beat McAllister 33-3. Bethel wins at Concordia 49-16. St. John's top St. Olaf 55-6. The Royals and the Johnnies from Collegeville next week in the automatic bid to the D3 tournament on the line. St. Scholastica wins at Hamlin 42-28. Carlton all over Gustavus 51-17 at Laird Stadium in Northfield. In the WIEC today, there definitely was a big upset. Oshkosh loses to Stout in Oshkosh 45-42, and Stout home to Platteville in Menominee next Saturday at 1. Huge game there. Platteville league leader beat Eau Claire 56-14. Lacrosse topped Whitewater 24-21. Forgettable year for Whitewater. River Falls beat Stevens Point 45-17. UMAC final today. Northwestern beat Greenville 42-34. Morris wins at Westminster 47-27. And Martin Luther down Crown in New Ulm 13-0. And let's jump back. Final game report of the day, filed by Tom Frederick earlier in the day. The longtime voice of the University of Sioux Falls. They're playing arch rival Augustana at Augustana. Key to the City on the line. Tom, what do you got?
Augustana University won back-to-back Key to the City football games for the first time and earned at least a share of back-to-back NSIC championships, beating the University of Sioux Falls this afternoon 27-21 at Kirkaby Over Stadium. The Vikings were led by graduate student running back Jared Epperson out of Omaha. He carried it 18 times for 202 yards and two touchdowns, runs of 62 and 47 yards, one in the first quarter, the other in the fourth quarter. The touchdown, the last one, sealed the victory. The Cougars got two touchdown passes from Camden Dean, a junior from Lakeville South High School. He threw 41 times, completed 23 for 285 yards, and touchdowns of 29 yards to Adonis Hutchinson in the first quarter and 20 yards to Christian Janis in the fourth. It was 7-7 after one. Augie was up 17-7 at halftime. At the end of three quarters of play, Augustana had a 20-14 lead, stretched it to 27-14 before Sioux Falls scored to make it a six-point affair with 11 minutes left. Cougars were not able to get any closer. A Hail Mary at the end was batted down. Augustana with 487 yards total offense to 402 for the University of Sioux Falls. It was Augustana's sixth consecutive win. The Vikings are now 8-1 in league play, 8-2 overall, with a date at Bemidji next weekend. University of Sioux Falls, quite the turnaround, 3-8 last season, and now sitting at 7-3 in 2024, 6-3 in league play. They wrap up the regular season next week at home against that Southwest Minnesota State. Augustana wins the Key to the City battle, 27-21 over the University of Sioux Falls. This is Tom Frederick reporting.
All right, very good. Thanks, Tom, as always, for an update on that one. And I think we are up to date on the scores. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Vikings-Jaguars tomorrow. Trap game. We'll think about that. And we're going to bring in Jonathan Lowell, if he's available, for an update on Michigan, Indiana. It's late. Can the Hoosiers hang on and win? We'll do that in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Two state champions have been crowned in St. Paul. XL Energy Center State Volleyball. 1A. Mayor Lutheran shut out Minneota 3-0. 2-way, Holly over Southwest Christian, 3-1. Still to come, 6:30, 3A championship match, Alexandria against Marshall. And then at 7, number 2-ranked Champlain Park, number 1-ranked Lakeville South at 7 o'clock. Should be a great night of volleyball at the XL Energy Center. And right now, we've got a Big Ten showdown. Indiana trying to remain unbeaten, clinging to a lead in Bloomington over Michigan. Jonathan Lowe, where does it stand?
So Indiana gets a field goal after getting into the red zone. They are up 20-15 as it goes to the two-minute timeout. It's not the two-minute warning like it is in the NFL. They had to say something different. So two-minute timeout. Michigan has all three of their timeouts left. They have the ball first and 10 on their side of the field. I believe it's at the – I'm trying to figure out to get the yard marker – it's at the 20, I'm sorry, the I think around the 35-yard line. So they got to drive the length of the field still to get that. Clemson has expanded their lead over Virginia Tech 24-7, 3.5 to play. Georgia and Ole Miss. Ole Miss gets a field goal. They go up 25-10, then get a strip sack of Carson Beck. Ole Miss with the ball in the red zone at the two-minute timeout, up 15. If they even get a field goal, that's a three-possession game. Good night, game over. Iowa State is going to lose to Kansas. It is just about to go final, 45-36 at Arrowhead. So another ranked team will fall today, along with Georgia. Colorado is up 31-20 on Texas Tech. Tech with the ball on Colorado's side of the 50 with 13 minutes to play. That game got started in the Fox window, which is a little later than the 2:30 window for the rest of them. Army is now 9-0 on the season, not 8-0 as I said earlier, after defeating North Texas 14-3, and they'll rise up the rankings as well.
All right, so the Timberwolves beat the Blazers last night. Wild get the win over the Ducks. Vikes play tomorrow against the Jaguars. In the time we have remaining, here are the numbers at the moment. 6-2 Vikings at 2-7 Jaguars, Everbank Stadium, Jacksonville, Florida tomorrow. Over under 43, not the lowest on the board, but a pretty typical number for an NFL game. Vikes on the road, favored by 6.5. I said this to Josh Wheeler earlier, our producer. Josh, I want you to jump in real quick. Gophers play at Rutgers today. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like they should win at Rutgers today. Vikes play tomorrow at Jacksonville. Should win at Jacksonville. Feels like a trap game to me. It just feels like that with this looming tomorrow at high noon. How do you feel?
Yeah, if you lose to the Jaguars with Trevor, it's bad. If you lose to the Jaguars without Trevor Lawrence, no matter if he's a factor or non-factor, he's still Trevor Lawrence. It's really bad. So yeah. I'd be very concerned as a Vikings fan if they do lose to Jacksonville, especially if they lose in grand fashion. That's going to be very concerning.
And by the way, all the reports are Trevor Lawrence is unlikely to play tomorrow against the Vikings.
Yeah.
It just still feels like one of these where it's like, oh, they're going to go in and they're going to mop up on these guys. On the road, yeah. It's like Gophers at Rutgers today. I didn't see that L coming with all the good feelings going on around the Gophers. I'm not saying they have anything to do with each other other than it's a feeling going into this one. I hope I'm wrong.
I felt it coming. I can't lie. I kind of felt an upset from the Gophers today. I don't know.
You didn't like the matchup in Piscataway.
No, right. And I don't like saying it either. So,
all right, guys, we got to run. Thank you, Jonathan Lowe, for your work on the scoreboard. Thanks to Josh Wheeler doing all the other stuff to keep us on the air. Kevin Reed, Josh Deere, Kelly Loft, Ryan Klinkner, Jim Sella, Tom Frederick, David Pape, all filing reports today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Have a great Saturday night. Don't forget, huddle tomorrow between 10 and noon.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boone here on News Talk 830 WCCO,
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.